evening. Before I get too far in, I just want to say a just general thank you for everybody that has either given me encouragements or come up and show me support for just growing up in the chapel here. It's been very encouraging to have kind of that second family that just watches over you and shows a love for you. And I'm very blessed to be able to be involved in so many different ministries, whether it's youth group or camp, and I'm helping out the VBS next week, just to be able to share God's glory and be able to show what he's done for me to them. And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm also very, I'll say thankful to be able to be up here. It's a privilege to be up here. This is definitely not in my comfort zone of everything, but I always count it a privilege to be able to come up and share God's word. I will say that the period in between Sunday morning, after the meeting ended, to right now was probably the longest, like, whatever, five-ish hours of my life of just waiting for it to happen so I could be up here. And I know I'm going to feel good when I'm done, but that was a tough period at the start. Interestingly enough, if you were here this morning for Leonard's message there, at the end of his message there, he briefly mentioned about having the fear of God, and I talked to him afterwards and said that that is what I had planned to speak on tonight. And we were just saying how it's cool how these, we never planned it, but just the way that it works, that we both have something in common and how it seems to line up that way. Maybe before we begin, I'll just open up in a word of prayer here. Our dear Heavenly Father, I'm just so thankful for this opportunity to be up here and just to talk about your word, that I pray that you'll give me the words to speak, that people will be able to understand, that it's clear. I pray for anybody that is here does not know you, can come to know you, and I pray for the ones that do believe in you already, that they'll be able to learn something and take away from it. We're so thankful for the God that you are, that you're never changing and always loving. And we're just so thankful for your son who you sent to die on the cross for us, and we just pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, so what I'm going to be talking about is fearing the Lord. I was writing down in all my stuff, and just thinking about how we as human beings, it's funny how unless we have something physically in front of us that we can see or touch, that we tend to not take it in consideration as much. We're foolish in the ways that when we're children, no matter how many times we're told something, we don't listen. I know one of the stories that I bring to mind is, believe it or not, I wasn't the best kid growing up. I was a little bit on the annoying side and a little bit of a bad listener. And Dad would not be afraid to give a good spanking to get us back in line. But in our house, Gregor and I always had fear that sometimes he'd use the hand, sometimes he'd use a spoon, but there was this little meat tenderizer off to the side. And we're like, if he ever busts at it, we know it's bad news. But anyways, there was one day, I was just probably an angel, but he wanted to lash out at me for something. But he took out the wooden spoon. We were sitting at the table, and he went to give me a good crack in the hand. But I pulled back last second. I was like, ooh, that was close. And it was a good hit because the spoon broke in half. And I was thinking, that was close. That could have been deadly. And I was like, ho, dodged that one pretty good. And then he was like, all right, let's go. We're going to your room. And then he used the hand, and there was no escaping that one. But it's funny how the amount of times he would tell me not to do something or to listen to him, that I would still be like, I'm going to do whatever I please. It's just the way that we are. In a more global type of event here, on April 15th in 1912, there was the unsinkable ship known as the Titanic, and it held around 2,200 people there, and it sank during its voyage only 2 hours and 40 minutes after hitting an iceberg that it went down. And then the Titanic, if you ever heard this fact before, it actually had received 6 different warnings that there was going to be ice on the sea that day before they had crashed. So they had plenty of time, plenty of warning to be like, we shouldn't go out here anymore. But yet they pressed on and kept going. And sadly, from that recklessness, about 1,500 lives were lost that day just because the crew didn't heed the warnings that were given to them. And so I think that's kind of how we function today, is that we have all these warnings. We can say nonstop things are bad for you. We all know smoking is a terrible habit that people get into, and we can say, hey, this is not going to be good for you if you keep going. You're going to get cancer. You're going to get sick. And they go, psh, whatever. And then they get cancer, and they get sick, and they're like, oh, this really sucks. I shouldn't have done that. But you give the warning multiple times before, and they still keep going. And we know as Christians, if you're a believer in Christ, that only two things are going to happen for certain. These are only two certain things. It's either we're going to die and we're going to go up and be with Christ, or he's going to come back and he's going to take us to be up with him. The only two certain things. We as believers have heard this warning of sin and have listened to it and have taken action against it. But there's a lot of the world out there, believers, but also, or non-believers, but there's also believers out there who don't have a proper fear of the Lord and what that entails. And they're not living a life that is truly for God because they don't have this fear. And so, like I said before, fearing the Lord is kind of what I'm going to go through tonight. I'm going to be doing a bunch of flipping around, so I'm not going to necessarily get you to go to a passage because it'll just be too much. But the first verse that I have is Proverbs 9, verse 10, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And that'll kind of be like the key verse of this evening. So the key points that I would just like to touch on tonight, and this is such a broad topic, but to narrow it down just for tonight, will be, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Why is it important to fear the Lord? And what effect can fear produce in our lives? And so the first one was, what does it mean to fear the Lord? And I think it's important to clarify, what does it actually mean to fear the Lord? I have two different types of fear written down. There's servil fear, which is the type of fear that is motivated primarily by, this is a fancy definition of it, the prospect of punishment or negative consequences. So the basic gist is, the focus of it is avoiding harm. So the example would be, if you were afraid of heights, you're obviously not going to go somewhere that's high up because you have fear of danger that you're going to hurt yourselves. Could be a bully at school you are also afraid of because he's going to hurt you. If you're a lady at this time of year, it could be June bugs. You are terrified of them and you want to stay away. There's also filial fear, which is a respectful fear arising from love and reverence, a fear of displeasing or harming a loved one rather than a fear of punishment. And that's going to be the fear that I'm focusing on tonight. The focus on that one is maintaining a close relationship. And an example of it would be, like, if you have a friend or a family member that you care about, would be not lying to them. And you're not lying because you have a fear of punishment if you did lie, but you're not doing it because of fear of hurting that friend or family member. And so for our case as believers, it would be trying to do our best to avoid sin and do stuff against God, not because we're afraid of hell and the consequences of sin necessarily, but because we don't want to displease God. We want to keep honoring him in everything we do. And so that'll be kind of the one I focus on. I'm sure you could do a whole message on the other, but so to have this filial fear towards the Lord, it's not something that is supposed to inflict terror on us in a way that we are terrified of God and we want to run away from him because of what he will do. Romans 8, 1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." So you have to ask yourself, would it make sense that the God that we worship, the God that we love, would want us to fear him in the sense that we are so terrified to be around him and that's why we are with him, out of fear in that way? No, that doesn't make any sense. We don't love him because we fear for our own safety and we want to draw near him out of fear of punishment. God obviously wants us to draw closer to him, not further away. And I will say that as I keep going on, that of course it is important to recognize the power of God. He's a very powerful being. But that he is a righteous and in his anger and judgment. And there's plenty of times that this is portrayed in the Bible. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11 says, "God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day." There's different examples, like I said before, whether it's the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, the plagues on Egypt, Adam and Eve. These are things that God was angry at for their sin, and he has a righteous way to do that, and he shows his wrath towards it. And we should have a respect for that power, but we should not let that power terrify us into being away from him. We should have a respect for it, but not be running away in terror because of it. When it comes to fearing the Lord, it should be done in a way that draws us closer to him in humility and love. One of the things I had written down was just, have you ever been in awe of something? Whether it's you come across a landscape that is just so beautiful and you're just standing in it like, I can't believe this. Or if you're a parent, when you have the newborn, your first child, and you're holding it and you're just in disbelief of this, I was going to say creature, but that doesn't sound right, this baby that's in front of you that is just so loving and cute, and you're almost terrified to hold it in the sense that you don't want to cause any harm to it. This is the same type of reverent awe that we should be showcasing toward God in what we do. Psalm 33, verses 8 to 9 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. When we fear the Lord, it's about having a deep respect for him. We should be showing reverence and awe for God's power and authority. And it's about wanting to live in accordance to his will and not of our own, because that would be very displeasing to him. We want to do what is his will. And so we need to understand that God is holy and that we are not, that he is in control and we aren't, and that his word is truth. All of those things I have just said are not optional truths that you get to pick and choose what they are. It is the truth. And we only can understand these truths when we begin to fear the Lord in the way that we are intended to. Psalm chapter 112, verse 1 said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And so that should give you a general idea of where I'm heading with what it means to fear the Lord, not to be afraid of who he is and what the wrath of sin will come. Of course, we should respect that, but to be in a fear of him in a sense that we don't want a disappoint him, and that we want to live a life honoring to him. So next up is, why is it important to fear the Lord? And just going back to the very first verse that I said in the beginning, Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To experience true wisdom, we must have God at the center of it. He is the foundation on which wisdom and understanding is built. Having a proper understanding of God is the beginning point of wisdom, and that only comes from having a respect and awe for God's holiness and authority. When we fear the Lord, we begin to have understanding in his ways, which in turn will provide us with the foundation for making wise decisions and living a life that is pleasing to him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you tried to look up all the times that it says the fear of the Lord or the fear of God or anything like that, you will get a ton of pop-ups because of how often it is mentioned in the Bible. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Next would be that the fear of the Lord leads to obedience. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. When we fear God, we obey him, not because we're terrified of what he will do to us if we do not, but because of our love and respect for him. God does not force us to obey him and love him. If we did that, then you've heard this before, that we would be considered robots with no free will, and we just do whatever we're told to do. God wants us to obey him and love him, of course, but he wants us to do it out of our own volition. That's what makes it genuine. If we're doing it out of control, it's not genuine. If we're doing it because we want to, then it's real. If we told God that we loved him and we obeyed him, but we only did it because we were scared of the consequences of our sin and hell, that would not be genuine obedience. It would be based on fear of his wrath. Our belief would be entirely based on our own interests and not his. I would be believing in him for the fact of, I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to believe in you. Not in the aspect of, I believe in you because I want to get to know you and have a relationship with you. And also, escaping hell is obviously a great side effect from it, but it's not the reason for what we are doing. It's not the specific motivation for loving God. If you've ever been down to camp, one of the rules that we have established down there, if you're counseling and you're doing your devotions, is that we try not to make mention of hell. If a kid asks about it specifically, or if a speaker ends up talking about it in his messages, of course we will address it and we'll talk about it and have a safe discussion around it. But we choose not to mention it, especially in the younger ages, because we don't want these kids to base their faith on fear of what sin can lead to. Obviously, sin is a very terrible thing that we need to address, but we want to make sure that they base their belief and love on the Father and what he does, and not on hell, essentially, that is what comes of it. Of course, that is something that is need to be taught and need to be shown, but I do believe that there's a lot of people out there who come and become saved and believe in God purely to escape hell and the wrath of sin, rather than believing in God for the sake of having a relationship with him and growing close to him. And like I said before, obviously not going to hell is a pretty big deal. It's definitely a perk of the whole thing, but it shouldn't be our sole reason for following God. It shouldn't be out of fear. It should be out of love. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 13 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good." When we fear God in the proper way, we want to become obedient to him. We want to live in a way that's honoring to him, and we do it out of love, not out of dread, and not out of being terrified of what could happen. So that's the fear of the Lord produces is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord leads to obedience. And now the fear of the Lord produces holiness. Fear causes us to live differently. It changes how we make decisions. It purifies our motives and helps us keep walking on the narrow path that Christ has set before us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, very familiar verses. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." In an earthly sense for fear for us, it can cause us to make very rash and quick decisions that tend to help us in whatever situation that we are in. And sometimes fear makes us make no decision because we're so terrified of the outcome that can come from it. Sometimes it can be useful, like if you have fear in a situation where harm could occur to you, you usually stay away from that option. And yeah, fear is a pretty good thing there. We went down as a youth group to the Cape Breton retreat there, and one of the things that they loved to do was hit this giant snow hill and go off a ramp and fly like 20 or 30 feet. And they're like, "Oh, Jamie, you got to do it. This would be awesome. And I'm a pretty big guy, so I'm sure I get some good speed." They're clearing 20 to 30 feet easily. But I said, "I know who my father is, and I know my bones are not good, so I will not be doing this." And that was fear. I was like, "I'm scared. I don't want to do this, so I'm not going to." And I have survived thus since from making that decision. But usually fear tends to do more harm than it does good. It either delays our decisions or it makes our decisions too quick and they are not the right ones. But when we have fear towards what God will think, we can make better decisions, ones that keep us on that narrow path, and they will follow the steps that Christ has laid out before us. We will be able to follow in how he goes and worry of disappointing him and not pleasing him. That fear will cause us to be on the narrow path. And so one of the first things that I thought of when I was thinking about this, and I don't know why it was the first one, but I was thinking about the life of Joseph. And this one, I'll get you to turn to Genesis chapter 39, and I'll just read a portion there starting at verse 7. And this is when Joseph has the run-in with Potiphar's wife. And it says there in Genesis 39, starting at verse 7, "And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused and said to his master's wife, 'Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. If we continue reading in that passage, it says there that Potiphar's wife, after Joseph flees and she's got the robe still, she gathers all the men of the house, and then she changes the story up and starts to tell people that Joseph was initiating this all. He was trying to get with me and creating this false facade of what happened. And so once Potiphar arrives back home, then she tells her husband about what happened, about this whole fabricated story. And so when you're reading this, you have to wonder to yourself, does this seem like Joseph had fear towards Potiphar more or towards God more? I'm sure Joseph, obviously, in the moment, and as he left, he would have known this is a betrayal of the trust of my master if I had gone and done this. And then I'm sure after he left, he would have thought of everything that Potiphar would have done to him if he had gone through with it. But it says there in Scripture, right in verse 9, it says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph ran out of that situation as fast as he possibly could because he knew this is not what God had intended for him. He knew this isn't what God would have wanted. His fear and respect for God is what caused him to run out of this situation. It wasn't from fear and consequences of what Potiphar would have done. If he was really that scared about what Potiphar would have done, I'm sure he would have went and told him right away what would happen to escape whatever wrath was going to come from him. But instead, he's running away because he doesn't want to sin against God and do this wickedness that would be in God's eyes. He doesn't want to sin against God. It's the fear of God that drove him out, not the fear of man. The Lord protects those who follow him, and Joseph makes sure to make God his priority in those decisions. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And as we continue on in this story, we know that the Lord was with Joseph in everything that he did. It says that in verse 21 in the same chapter, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The Lord is protecting Joseph because Joseph is showing that fear of the Lord and honoring him in his decisions. If he was truly scared of Potiphar and not the Lord, then the outcome would have been different. The Lord might have not been as loving and kind to him, but because he showed that fear to him, the Lord was keeping watch over him. Holiness is produced from the fear of the Lord. It's very easy for him. Joseph could have slipped up so easily in that moment, and there's tons of other examples in the Bible that happens, whether it's David or who else. They all slip up at one point. But Joseph has this fear of God and not wanting to disrespect him and go against his word and continues following that narrow path. And there's plenty of other men and women in the Bible who feared the Lord. Obadiah, Nehemiah, Ruth, Esther, Rahab. There's tons of examples of people that feared the Lord and wanted to do what was good. And so that brings me to my final point here of what does the fear of the Lord produce in our lives? One of the things that fear of the Lord produces is confidence, security, and life. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 26 and 27 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. The truth is that when we fear God, we have no need to fear anything else, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, that when we fear God, we don't need to fear anything else. He is our rock and our shelter. We can have him, we can have security knowing that we are saved eternally with him and we can never be removed from him. And there's nothing that can overcome us when we have him in our lives. Just more scripture, John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29 says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What an incredible feeling to have that When we fear the Lord and go down that path that he wants for us, that nothing can overcome us. He is the biggest one of them all. He can take anything, and we are protected through him. I love to read scripture and put it in the message so it's not just me talking. I want you to be able to see where it says in scripture that it is truth and fiction, and fact, and not just me talking out loud. And so another thing that fear produces in our lives is that it causes us to experience God's blessings in our lives. The verse that I said, I believe already, was Psalm 112:1. It says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." Once we start having fear in the Lord and following the path, we will be blessed by him. We will get in those blessings that he has for us. And finally, it can cause us to grow closer to God and to know him better. Psalm 25, verse 14 says, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant." So the more that we begin to fear God, the more we actually begin to know about him. It's a very interesting cycle of it. So whenever you hear the fact of people saying, "Fear the Lord," it's important to know that it is this type of fear of, "I just don't want to disappoint you. I want to do what is honoring to you," out of the fear that you will not like what I'm doing. Not out of, "I fear that you are going to do something bad to me if I don't listen to you." And so the more we fear him, the more we know about him. And so just in my closing thoughts here, it would be that a lot of people in the world kind of see God and the Christianity belief as kind of a set of rules that keep us truly from experiencing life, from having the fun and freedom that we can have. While it is true that we do abstain from a lot of the worldly practices out there, it's not because God is preventing us from having a good time or preventing us from having fun. It's for our own protection. In the line of work that I am in as a nurse, working in long-term care, is that sometimes I got to be the bad guy when it comes to people and comes to the residents. Sometimes I have to set rules for them and say, "You can't do this," and they don't like it. One of the big things that you have to deal with a bunch is when they're diabetics and they love to have candy and sugar. And I go, "I am taking this away from you." And they go, "You are the worst. I hate you." And I go, "You will lose your legs and arms and whatever else and die, basically, if I don't do this for you." And to them, I'm the enemy. I'm taking away that something that they love and that they want to do. But I'm doing this not because I don't like them. In fact, I'm doing it because I like them and because I want the best for them. If I didn't care about them at all, I would let them do whatever they wanted and just be like, "Well, it's your life. Go ahead. Eat yourself silly and die," essentially. But because I care about them and want the best for them, I am going, "I don't want you to do this," because I know what it's going to lead to. And it's the same way with God, is that he doesn't have these things in place to make it so that we enjoy life less or don't have as fun of experiences. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He sets these rules because it will make our lives better. He makes this standard and this narrow path to be on because it will enhance our lives. And so to fear the Lord is not some type of prison that we're trapped in. It's not a chain that's keeping us trapped up from experiencing things. But the fear of the Lord is actually the key to our freedom. It's a key that provides us wisdom and helps us stay on the narrow path. It provides us safety and insurance in this chaotic world that we live in, and allows us to grow closer to him and have a more meaningful life. God is not something that we can just put half our effort into and just try and get along with it and do whatever. We have to be all in when it comes to God. We have to keep going full force in everything that we do. This seems to be a bit of a struggle today with some of the believers, is that they don't have that fear of the Lord. They don't have that drive to keep doing what is honoring to him. We claim to be Christian and followers of Christ, but we're doing our own thing off to the side as we see fit. It's a battle, and I'm not innocent from it as well. I obviously have my own moments where I know that I have sinned and I have to come crawling back and ask for forgiveness, but we can go as a body of followers together to lift each other up, help us keep on that narrow road and keep us motivated. But to do that, we have to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts to guide that, to be able to start it. And then just in closing, I'm just going to read this last two verses here. It says Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. It says, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just